All right, welcome aboard on a Tuesday. We've got a short show today, but we've got a lot for you going until 6 o'clock. Then it's the Tom Izzo Show, followed by Spartan Basketball at 7. At 7 o'clock, I'll be on the stream over at Marysville Port Huron High Boys basketball game going on tonight. Matt Shook will join us on a Tuesday. This is normally Costanzo's spot.
Yeah.
But he's taking the wife to dinner because it's her birthday tonight, so I gave him the pass. And I said, hey, we'll call Shook. We'll talk about the NBA trade deadline and all the Piston rumors. And then Mark D'Antonio decided to retire. So I guess I should start there and get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about it a few times during the fall, is that, you know, things got pretty ugly on the field come middle of the season or so, and then it continued to be that way for the rest of the season, getting to a bowl game, sure, but and even winning. But, you know, I don't know. It's I said it all along. I told people early on that, you know, don't be surprised if this is Mark D'Antonio's last year, and it obviously proved to be the case. And then people were so cynical to suggest that he would take that that bonus on January 15th and walk away after that. I didn't know if I quite bought that, but the cynics won out, and that's what happened. And obviously, Tony Paul, the Detroit News, my colleague there, another former Port Huron writer, had some more from Blackwell in that investigation, and some minor NCAA violations that were kind of cast upon in that deposition from Blackwell. I don't think that would be, you know, what was discussed in that article in terms of a non-main assistant coach going on in-house visits and stuff like that. Nothing that would take down Mark D'Antonio in and of itself. But obviously the buzzards are kind of circling with that situation, the lawsuit that he has against the school, and then the losing. You know, it's not been a pretty last couple of years for the Spartans, albeit the success, the amazing and remarkable success that Mark D'Antonio has had throughout his entire career as a whole. But then you look at that, and then, and the refusal to change the offensive staff after the struggles of the last few years was obviously something that really rankled a lot of the Michigan State supporters. And now here we are, and now they're looking for a coach the day before signing day. So that's not a great place to be, although we know signing day isn't what it used to be. They've got most of the recruits already signed from early signing day in December.
Yeah, this is, and again, this guy's legacy on the plus side is going to outweigh any of the negativity. But at a university where you still got the Nassar scandal taste in the mouth, the off-field things that were going on with the Spartan football program certainly doesn't help, too, when you're not winning like they were winning 5 years ago.
Yeah, like you said, it's a bad taste of these last few years. And like I said, the Blackwell stuff in and of the minutiae of the investigation and the lawsuit is not a huge deal, but it represents the bigger deal. Like you said, the off-field stuff, the sexual assaults, the questionable characters that they were bringing in right after making the college football playoff there a few years back, and then the downward spiral that the program had went in since then after taking a chance on a few of those players that obviously in retrospect they shouldn't have done that. So it's kind of a tale of two parts. I mean, I do the Locked On Pistons podcast, so obviously we talk about Joe Dumars in this context, and Joe Dumars is all on court type of stuff. It has nothing to do with off the field stuff, which D'Antonio is working on. But you look at Joe Dumars' presence as the GM of the Pistons, the first half of it was amazing and it was unbelievably good. And then the last half of it was kind of the exact opposite. It was he couldn't do anything right, and it was just bad move after bad move. So, and again, Mark D'Antonio should probably get a statue outside of Spartan Stadium. He took that football program to levels that probably no one could have envisioned when he took the job and came over from Cincinnati. So, so much more on the plus side than the negative side. But in terms of just looking at it as, you know, pre- the Austin Robertson situation and post Austin Robertson situation, it's really two really stark differences in ways to look at his tenure at Michigan State.
Yeah, and I'll talk more in the next segment about this with Brady Beaton, but just awkward that it comes out in a tweet that this is Mark D'Antonio. Yeah. Where's the press conference?
Yeah, and he's always been a guy who's an old school guy. So the fact that it's a social media, internet type of thing, him and Tom Izzo are two guys that have kind of railed on social media in the past. But yeah, it's awkward in a lot of different ways. And like I said, that bonus, that's due, I guess, by the end of March. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up donating that back to the university amid a little bit of public pressure there. So more to be told, and I think that, like you said, we haven't really gotten to the bottom of this story quite yet, but you know, you do have to look back on all the good times and getting into the heights that you maybe would have never thought that they got to, dominating Michigan, beating Ohio State on the road, and some amazing big wins, getting to bowl games on New Year's Day, the college football playoff, the Big Ten championship, the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, all that good stuff. So a lot of great times for Michigan State fans, and hopefully that's the main thing that's discussed when we think back about Mark D'Antonio 5-10 years from now.
Yeah. Brian Lewerke aside, a lot of great quarterbacks at Michigan
exactly.
State. All right. Hopefully you're going to be busy here between now and 3 o'clock Thursday. That's the NBA deadline. I think a lot of Piston fans and followers of the Pistons are hoping that moves are going to be made. I don't know what's really feasible for them or what's really going to be possible, but the latest are Luke Kennard rumors. Tell us.
Yeah, that's strange, right? Because we figured that it would be the veterans who might have a little bit of value that you can get something for to kind of clear the path for the young guys, and Luke Kennard obviously doesn't fit that bill. Now, he's not as young as some of the other young guys, but he still is thought of, and until he's traded, if he's traded, is still kind of thought of as that young core. Now, that being said, the rumor that came out from Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN.com, late last night, was that the Pistons and the Phoenix Suns are in high-level discussions to move Luke Kennard to the Suns for the Phoenix's first-round pick. No word if there'll be any protection on that pick this year or not, but they're 11th right now in the ping-pong ball race, and a team that's 5 games out of the Western Conference playoffs, and then maybe some salary matching slash young pieces to make the salaries work. Elia Kobo, a point guard from France who's in his second year, who was, I believe, the first pick of the second round last year. And then Javon Carter, who's from West Virginia, was a second-round pick a couple years back as well, who's had some knee problems in his college career but been a really bulldog point guard who can shoot it from three but isn't really much of a finisher around the rim, but really brings that defensive tenacity that Detroit Pistons fans of my age and your age would really like to see. So I think that there's a guy, and those guys aren't game breakers, but they're potential bench pieces down the road. Nothing further, if that's being more towards finalized, the discussion was that they would have more discussions today. But yeah, Luke Kennard, the problem with Luke is the injuries, and he's not much of a defensive player, so that really doesn't fit in with Dwayne Casey's preference there. And the other thing is, after next season, this summer, he'd be eligible for extension. So you're going to have to start talking about signing him for at least $12, maybe even as much as $20 million per season. And for the guy with the injuries, for the guy with the lack of defensive upside, that's a tough pill to swallow. Certainly he deserves that kind of contract in terms of millions and millions of dollars and really some long-term commitment too. But if you're the Pistons, he's a little bit ahead of schedule in terms of where this team might be good with Sekou Doumbouya and then some of the other guys that are coming up, Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, Christian Wood as well. Maybe those guys are on a little bit different of a timeline than maybe giving Luke Kennard $60 million this offseason to stick around for a few more years. And Phoenix kind of has that ready-made spot where you can add to a core that's already in place, whereas the Pistons need maybe some more impact players to make their core better going forward. So I think it's a trade that makes sense for both sides myself.
Here's the thing, and I was trying to like to comparison because I like to do that. Kelly Trpiuka comes to mind when I think of Luke Kennard. Can't play defense, but the potential for this guy to become a big scorer, and I think that would be the fear of Pistons fans, that he'll go to another team and this guy will become like the most sensational three-point shooter in the league for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I like that comparison because Kelly Trpiuka, he was starting to score quite a bit with the Pistons, too. I mean, he was lighting it up already as kind of another guy alongside Isaiah Thomas as that team tried to build up and develop. But I really like the comparison because, you know, Pistons fans, you're trying to envision what this team could look like in a year and 2 and 3 years. And everyone's, of course, talking about and wanting to trade the Andre Drummonds and Derrick Roses of the world and Langston Galloway and Markieff Morris as well, and rightfully so. But you can't just look at every single young player on this team right now and say, yes, this is what I envision this guy looking like in 2 years on this roster. You're going to have to figure out maximizing assets. You're going to have to figure out which guys fit with each other, which guys fit with what the coach and the front office want to do as a collective group. So I was kind of curious about this, that who is going to be the first young guy that's moved, because Pistons fans, we all have our factions. You know, we like this young guy, but we don't like this young guy, and this different fan likes this young guy, but he doesn't like this young guy. So there's like a Luke Kennard crew out there. There's a Bruce Brown crew out there. There's a Sekou Doumbouya crew out there that sings the praises of him. So when one of those guys gets moved or gets rumored to get moved, how does that group react to that? And there's a lot of people out there that are not happy that Luke Kennard's being discussed as being a guy who could get moved and maybe might get moved here in these next 48 hours or so. So and that's just the pain of part of the pain of a rebuild, is that guys you get attached to might not be part of the final group that you hope contends down the line in a couple of years. So that's what we're going to see, and we'll see if he ends up being Doyle Alexander or John Smoltz in this scenario, I guess.
Well, I always, the one that I like to stick out there is Chris Middleton. But this is different because mm-hmm. Kennard has gotten his chance to play in Detroit. Chris Middleton got no chance to play in Detroit, and oh, geez, look what a player he's been in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Chris Middleton, and of course Spencer Dinwiddie is the other one you can throw into that group of guys who the Pistons didn't give a chance to, gave up on too early, and then they became... Middleton's case an all-star, and Dinwiddie's case nearly an all-star as well. So, yeah, you're completely right. But it's a little bit different, like you said, because Luke's gotten his chance. Luke will get value back, so it's not like you're just giving him up as a throw-in in the Brandon Jennings, Brandon Knight trade like Middleton was. So, yeah, it's a little bit different. But and Luke Kennard is going to score a lot of points in the NBA. He's going to be around for a long time. There's no doubt about that. His offensive skill set, in addition to obviously his three-point shooting, he'll be around for a long time. And there are going to be nights that the Pistons are going to wish they had a Luke Kennard if they trade him here in this next day or so. But, yeah, it's a little bit different because at least you're getting some value. And, yeah, they might swing and miss on that pick, but at least getting that pick is a good thing for the future.
All right. Is it dead in the water, Andre talk or Derrick Rose talk or any of these other guys, or could something still happen between now and Thursday?
You know, I tend to think that something's going to happen. This is the Pistons team that's obviously motivated to move Andre Drummond, maybe a little bit less motivated to move Derrick Rose. But I think when at the end of the day they're going to look at the moves presented to them for Derrick Rose and decide that the value is worth it, that he's got the peak of his value right now than it will be over the next couple of years. And I think the team like the Philadelphia 76ers will come through with a good enough offer to move Derrick Rose. As for Drummond, the fact that was put out there so publicly that they wanted to trade him a few weeks ago, I think that bridge has kind of burned. I think you've already seen since then that Drummond's play has gone downhill since then. And I think that even if the value isn't there, that they're going to find a way to move him before the trade deadline, and he'll be gone too. So that's my prediction, is that all these guys we're talking about, Derrick Rose, Andre Drummond, Markieff Morris, Langston Galloway, I think they're all going to get moved before the deadline, even though you might have some skepticism about it because you haven't heard as much about those guys as maybe you thought you might a couple weeks back. But I think they all get moved.
Well, tell them about the podcast, because it sounds like there might be a lot for you to be talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to be ready for it. It's Locked On Pistons, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you find podcasts, you can do it. We're doing it every day. Plus, if there's emergency podcasts after a trade, we'll do those too as well. So entertaining stuff, huge numbers, and come join the ride.
All right. Thanks as always, Matt.
Thanks, Dennis. Talk to you soon.
All right. There's Matt Shook. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. Brady Beaton will join us in the next segment. We'll talk more about the Mark D'Antonio bombshell that was earlier this afternoon when he announced his retirement via Twitter. And actually, the reaction, because it's a recorded segment, Brady called me like right after it came out, so you get his honest reaction at the moment. So it's a little fun.